really connect through worship. And I started to really understand and love and just realize how blessed I was. And then through mock GCSE time, I had a broken leg and I had COVID and I was in bed. And that was quite a rough time for me, but I felt the Lord by me the whole time. And that's how I know that I really was growing with the Lord, because I would have sunk so much deeper than I did. And then coming out of that, because I'd had a few months off school, I had that same kind of post-COVID anxiety, but it was just post-broken leg. And it went into my GCSEs with me, and I'd be throwing up before a few of them. But before every single one of them, I had my headphones in playing worship music, and that gave me a sense of peace that I just couldn't have had without it. And then after that, I came out with some all right grades, so I was happy with that. And it was a whole year gone past, and I went back to Revive 2022. And that year, we were back with the friends we had made before. And when I tell you, these friends are some of the most like inclusive, loving people that reflect Jesus in their lives so much. It was such a blessing. And in partnership with Jesus, they destroyed a lot of my remaining social anxiety. And that year, it was amazing. We were in this youth evening led by this woman called Jackie Pullinger. And she was praying for people to be given the gift of tongues. And what she did, she would get the people who had already been given the gift to go out and pray the remaining youth. And it ended up at the end of the evening with a whole room of like 100 plus youth who have all been given the gift of tongues. And it was just the most heavenly experience I've had so far. And for those of you who might not know what it is, not naming any names, in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, it says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to the people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, for they utter the mysteries of the Spirit," except you can get interpreters, but I'm not going to go into that. I left Revive feeling equipped to face a new year with a lot more trust in Jesus, and I found a new love for the Bible that I'd never experienced before, and just a real passion to want to understand the character and person of God, and that ultimately definitely led me a lot closer to Jesus. And for me, I found out that the Bible was kind of like eating. Like, you don't remember every single meal, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't nourish you. And for the gym bros in the room, it's kind of like protein. Like, it helps maintain muscle mass and promote muscle growth. And it's kind of the same, because it helps maintain your relationship with Jesus and also promotes growth. And then this year, at the February Ichthus weekend away, I quite literally bowed down at the cross and got on my knees and laid down my anxiety and panic for good, because I know that Jesus doesn't want us to carry our burdens, and he asks us to lay them down at the foot of the cross. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and for you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And these days I rarely struggle from anxiety and panic as I did before. And it doesn't hold me back anymore, because the passion I have to follow Jesus is far greater than my fear of breaking down in anxiety and panic. And if I've got Jesus, what have I got to fear? If you had told me 2 years ago I'd be standing in front of all of you sharing, I would have either just struggled to make eye contact or just said no. And I can't emphasize how much the fullness and love of Jesus has impacted my life. And there have been times I wanted to run from God as if he couldn't fix the situation I was in. And I've tried to fill the emptiness with like a busy schedule or social media. But at the end of the day, I've come to know that life is meaningless without God. And not just any God, but the real living God. And any other God is an idol. And the world has never and will never satisfy the human soul. Jesus has given me a new identity and a new spirit. Not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I no longer have to carry the burden of anxiety, panic, or numbness, because I know that Jesus took it all on the cross for me. So I've come to the conclusion to get baptized, because I've decided I can no longer live half for Jesus and half for the world. because Jesus didn't half die for me. He died for me fully.
Come on. Come on. Stay here for a minute. Stay here. Oh. No, you can stay here. You've got to stand here for a few more minutes. I've got to try and talk now. Yeah. Esther, we're so proud of you. Everybody here is very proud of you. Mary and I are extremely proud of you. And one of the things that you just brought out with your testimony is just how much you've had to walk through in the last few years. And we all know that our internal battles are some of the most significant battles that any of us ever face, right? Definition of courage is to feel the fear and do it anyway. And so this is something that Esther's had to learn to do, but I am just so grateful to God that he has walked with you in such a way that by his presence in your life and by him doing a massive healing work, you can stand here today and speak in a way that you could never have done 2 years ago. And so I'm so proud of you for being so courageous to keep going forward, but I'm so grateful to God for all he's done. So can we give Esther one more massive round of applause? We're going to pray for her when she's in the pool. Wowzers. Ooh. Just going to compose myself. Right. Darren, would you come and share your story? Let's encourage Darren. Well done. We're so excited that you are being baptized today. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Just want to look around and see the faces that I know and love. Thank you for being here today. This is really a special day for me. I'll tell you why it's a special day for me, because I've been saved. I've been saved.
I have actually been saved.
I've been saved from addiction. I've been saved from alcoholism. And I've been saved from myself. I had my first drink when I was 14. And I'd suffered anxiety. I didn't know. Anxiety wasn't talked about back then. But I'd really suffered anxiety. I can see that now. And I had my first drink. And I thought I'd had some magic potion. Because I came out of this pub at 14 years old, and I stood on the steps of the pub, and I felt honestly like the world could be mine. That was what the alcohol did. Did that to me, turned me into a completely different person. And I thought, that's the person I want to be. So I carried on. And I carried on, and I carried on. Now, drinking, don't get me wrong, a lot of people enjoy a drink, and having a drink for a good time is great, you know. But my drinking, unfortunately, just escalated and escalated, and it went beyond having a good time and started to become something that I relied on. And then I relied on it more and more because I created misery all around me with this alcoholic personality that wasn't a pleasant person, wasn't a good friend, wasn't a good husband. Did his best at being a good dad, you know, did his best. But all the time, what did he really love? He loved alcohol. And I came across a leaflet one day as I came home from work. I was feeling like I was carrying around a big space. There was something missing. I didn't know what it was. And I opened my porch door, and there was a little leaflet on the floor, and it was a guy carrying a big question mark. And I totally identified with this guy with the big question mark because I thought that's me. Except my question mark feels twice the size of that one. So that was the introduction to Alpha. So I did an Alpha course with John and Margaret. And
with John and Margaret. Yeah.
And and I thought, that's it. I'm cured. I'm cured of everything, especially the alcoholism. And this was in about 2009. And, what can I say? There's an analogy, isn't there, of a coal that's burning hot amongst other hot coals. And that's where I was when I was on the Alpha course. And then I took myself out of that hot fire of burning coals. And I sat myself all alone back in the world. And the heat started to die and the flames started to go down. And, the alcohol started to come back. So I drank some more. In fact, I drank and I drank and drank for another 7 years, I think. And the misery continued. The misery really continued. I was what's known as a high-functioning alcoholic, so I had a good job. My family was still all together. I had a car, so I could drive. We had a house. from the outside, it all looked okay. But on the inside, I was crying. I was crying out for something. I didn't know what it was, but it was no longer found in a bottle or a can. And God said to me, without me hearing, because I didn't hear any words, I just felt it. And God just said, right, unfortunately, in a case like this, we've got to just take you and break you. So I had what I suppose in doctor's terms we call a breakdown. And so I had to take some time off work. And while I was having the breakdown, the first people that I reached out to was John and Margaret. John and Margaret. And they, right there and then, you know, they prayed for me on the phone. And the tears were streaming. You might see him again later. The tears were streaming, and that led into going around to see them, to pray, and I spent a lot of time praying with them. And John was introducing me to Scripture and some of the Bible. The Bible had never made any sense to me, and it still didn't at that point, but I just stuck with it. And it makes a bit more sense now. And gradually, ever so gradually, I started to, see some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. It was a glint. It was a tiny little glimmer along a very dark tunnel. But I felt as if I can head for that. I can, there's something to aim for. And I'd gone to AA, so I was getting, you know, the proper sort of help that I needed as well. And AA, I don't know if any people know about 12-step programs, but it does introduce you to a spiritual path. So me and God came back in touch on step three. And in step three, it talks about a higher power. Now, higher power was good for me to think about God in those terms at that time, because the word God was, it seemed to be something that I'd accepted, but then I'd kind of turned my back on, I'd disappeared off again. So I didn't feel like I was worthy to say God. You know, it didn't feel like this thing could be God anymore because of what I'd done. And then I came to realize, of course, that God forgives everything. And Jesus came and met me on the path. And Jesus met me as I was, as I am, where I was at the time. He met me there. And I made it ever so hard for him, because I didn't really want to engage, you know. But he's very strong, very strong. Got me in a headlock. and I just kept going back. I started to come to church here, and you know, when you come to a place like this and it's so full of love and people who know God and know love. And it oozes out of them, shines out of their eyes. You know, you can't help but wanna be here, really. And then I delved a bit deeper into Scripture, which I continue to do on a daily basis. Oh, by the way, do I look a bit tired? Because I've just done a pilgrimage with brother Paul over there. And we only did 30 miles, but it was, honestly, the weather was horrendous. And it was on the coastal path, and it was very, very steep. And just one point of recommendation. So if I was doing one of those little reviews on, what's it called? TripAdvisor. Thank you, mate. Yeah. And I was reviewing Paul Dixon, right? As someone to go on a pilgrimage with, okay? So this guy, right, he's got everything in his backpack. Everything. Everything that I didn't have. So he had a stove, right? Nice. Cup of tea, cup of coffee. He had washing pegs. What are you doing with them, mate? But he had them. Milk powder. Didn't have to buy any milk. And on the beach, where were we on the beach where we cooked, mate? Where was that? Talon Bay. Talon Bay on the beach, get this, right? We're sitting there. We've had a pasty because we're in Cornwall. And out comes Thai chicken noodle soup with lemongrass. He's the man to go on a pilgrimage with. Yeah, 5-star report. 5-star review there, Mr. Dixon. Anyway, I did have a few notes, but we've missed that. But I'm just really looking forward to this. I'm so grateful to be able to do this, show this, bring this commitment to what has been so committed to me, to opening my heart, to, you know, my heart was like, just like, I don't know, like a knotted, dense piece of uselessness. And now it's been opened up by Jesus, you know, and I'm just so grateful for that. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you.
Love it. Okay. You stay there for a sec. Oh. I love your story. Baptism, it is a big visual aid of what God has already done on the inside of a person. That kind of dying to an old life and rising to a new one. In the power of God. And you can see it so clearly in your life. So thank you so much for sharing your story. And also, how important is it that we have spiritual mothers and fathers to help us along the way as well? Yeah, that came out really strongly for me. Amazing. We need to be that for others. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to pray for this guy when he comes through the water. Okay, Maureen, would you like to come up here? We'll ask you some questions. Can we welcome Maureen? Well done. Come on. This is my friend Maureen. And you've been up here a few times. I know you have, because sometimes when we do games and things in church, you're one of the first people to get up and get involved, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to hold it or shall I hold it?
Yeah, shall I hold it?
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I went to visit Maureen at her lovely home this week, and we had a lovely chat about getting baptized. And you're really excited, aren't you?
Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to about getting baptized?
I met Jesus up on the hill when I fell down.
Yeah.
And they pray for me. Because I hurt myself on my leg, and the ambulance came down and picked me up and took me to the hospital to have it mended and everything. And I like to be in the water. I like, what if I don't fall down in it?
Yeah, you won't fall down in it. We're going to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't that wonderful that God has been with you? Especially at those times, those difficult times, like when you've hurt yourself and that.
Yeah.
He's always been there.
Yeah.
And tell us how it feels to come to church and to worship here.
Because I like it here so much, because I don't like the other churches, because they don't do anything and just sit. And I like, you know, move my arms and legs.
Yeah,
and that.
You worship with your
matter.
Whole body.
Yeah.
And you need a church so you can worship with your whole body.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. When you come and you sing, you can see your whole life seems to be singing. Not just your mouth, it's all of you. And I think you've inspired a lot of people here to come and worship with all of our hearts, hasn't she? Yeah. Definitely one of our favorites. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
So we are delighted to baptize you today.
Yeah.
I asked Maureen before why she wanted to be baptized, and she said, because I haven't had a chance to do it yet, and I think it's my turn. And I think that's absolutely true. I think it is your turn, and I think God is so excited for you to be baptized today. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No more.
Okay, wonderful. Big round of applause for Maureen. She's such a special person. Right, if you go and take your seat, I'm going to say a few words and then we can head towards the pool. Oh, wonderful. The Lord meets all of us exactly where we are. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes just to encourage us all on this momentous day. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to John and chapter 12? We're going to get there in a minute. And while you're turning to John chapter 12, I want to share a prayer with you that I think I've shared once before in this church many years ago, but it is one of the most powerful prayers I've ever come across. In 1980, a young man from Rwanda was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or face certain death. He refused to renounce Christ, and he was killed on the spot. The night before, he had written the following commitment, which was found in his room. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up and stored up and prayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till everyone knows, work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me because my banner will have been clear. What a prayer. Wow. From the humble beginnings of his hut in Rwanda, this prayer has become one of the most powerful and widely used consecration prayers outside of the Bible. And I just love the heart and the passion of this prayer, the sheer confidence in God. It's full of unwavering trust. It comes from a man who has fallen so much in love with God and seen so much of the faithfulness and goodness of God that he can commit his entire life. I love the conviction in it. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when he comes for his own, my banner will have been clear. That is not the words of someone who is on the fence or someone who is still hedging their bets with their life. You may be thinking, well, this young Rwandan man sounds like a bit of a zealot. Maybe he sounds like some sort of super Christian who is living some higher level kind of Christianity. But this man's decision to give his whole life to Jesus is not higher level extraordinary Christianity. It's not a masterclass thing. It's where Christianity begins for all of us, with a no holding back, all in decision, a decision to die to our selfishness and to arise to a new life in God, yielded to God's purposes. That's where Christianity begins. In John 12, 24, Jesus speaks into this idea of making a choice over our lives. So John 12, 24, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus compares our lives to a kernel of wheat, a seed, if you will. A farmer with a kernel of wheat has two options, doesn't he? He can eat it, or he can sow it. If he sows it, it will transform, it will grow, it will become something else. It can produce 30, 60, 100 times more kernels. If he eats it, it could keep him going for a little while, but then it's gone. It doesn't transform or become anything else. And so if our lives are like kernels of wheat, Jesus is saying here, we have a choice to consume them or to invest them. We can't do both, just like the farmer. If we dare to take Jesus at his word and we dare to invest our lives, Jesus promises two things in this scripture. First, he says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me because my servants must be where I am. Once we've made this decision to become a follower of Christ, he will help us to keep in step with him. He will help us to become true followers of Christ. He will help us to be where he is, to sense his mind, to feel his heart. He loves sharing his life with us, and he loves blessing our lives with a tangible sense of his presence. That's the first promise. The second one is this. It comes at the end of verse 26. It says, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. God himself will take the responsibility to bless and honor you if you will trust him with your life. Do you believe that? I have seen enough in my life to understand that this promise of Jesus is absolutely trustworthy. Some of the happiest times in my whole life have been the times when I have put everything back into God's hands once again, when I have come just humbly, just as I am, mistakes and all, and said, God, take everything that I am, everything that I've become, everything that I may one day be, I want you to take it all, and I've just thrown my whole life in once again. Wonderfully, the other side of a decision like that comes joy, comes freedom, comes a sense that my life is hidden with God. And God always honors people who set themselves apart for him. God may show up in your life when you come to this consecrated place of setting yourself apart for God in all sorts of ways. He may speak to you afresh about who you are. He may come and strengthen your resolve to continue to live the life that he's already called you to. Some of us get tired and fatigued when we are living the life or doing the things that God has called us to. Sometimes when we lay it all down again, God comes with fresh conviction, fresh strength to keep going. Sometimes he opens new opportunities and sends you off in a different way. Sometimes it's just a simple awareness of his enormous delight over your life, that you have given your heart to him. You can feel his pleasure. He will show up in any number of ways. But there has been some key moments in my life when God has called me to set myself apart for him, and God has intervened. And the first time he really did that, I was 17 years old, just a couple of months older than Esther, when I'd heard for the first time, really heard them in my heart and soul, that God loved me. God loved Aid Gascoigne more than I could ask or imagine. And you can insert your own name there. God loves you more than you could ask or imagine, more than you can conceive right now. And those words of truth just rattled around my soul for a while until there came a moment where something in me woke up to the presence of God, and I felt God's presence so powerfully. Those words suddenly became true and real, and I could feel the love of God surrounding me. And right there on my own on a hillside, I gave my life in all its fullness to God. This is what I've been looking for. I was really hungry and thirsty at 17 years old. I wanted to know. I wanted to believe. If this was true, I wanted to believe, but I needed to know, and I needed God to show up in a way that would help give me the conviction. I wasn't going to make this up as I went along. God showed up in my life in such a way and in such a powerful, deep sense and experience of his Spirit that I had no choice but to say, God, everything I am, I give to you. That decision was the beginning of what I have lived ever since. And I can speak from 25 years of experience that God is true to his word. He has helped me to keep in step with him. And the Father has honored me and showered me with so many blessings over those 25 years. One of the most extraordinary blessings is called Esther, and she's going through the waters today. Mark Batterson said in his book, All In, if you don't hold out on God, he will not hold out on you. There is nothing God cannot do through a person who is fully consecrated to him. He goes on to say, it's God's job to do amazing things. It's our job to fully surrender all that we have and all that we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do our job, God will certainly do his. Amen? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you can borrow the book. It's here. I'll leave it on there. It's got my name in it, so give me back. And I want to finish with one final little story. William Booth was one of the most influential figures of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He inspired three generations of Christians to throw off selfish desires and immerse their lives in the cause of serving the most broken and lost people in this country. After he died, 150,000 people filed past his coffin, and 40,000 people, including Queen Mary, attended his funeral. It was a remarkable end for a man born into poverty and who lived amongst poverty for his whole life. He is best known today as the founder and first general of the Salvation Army. A truly remarkable man who was given the title the prophet to the poor. Isn't that wonderful? How did that wonderful life begin? Shortly after he was converted, he wrote in his diary these words, God shall have all there is of William Booth. Right now, I believe God wants to raise up more William Booths, people who know what it is to truly surrender their lives to God, people through whom God can pour out his resurrection life. But it begins with a God-inspired decision. Darren and Esther and Maureen are taking the plunge today. They're making their declaration. They are overtly stepping over the line as followers of Jesus Christ. And our prayer for them, I believe, should be twofold. Number one, that as they die to themselves, that the resurrection life of God would move powerfully through them in the coming days and weeks and months. Amen? That's number one. And second prayer that I believe should be ours for everybody else in the room is that we, all of us, would encourage them, not just with words and with friendship, but with a daily demonstration of what it means to live passionately and unreservedly for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's do some baptizing. Some of us are going to quickly go and get changed while the rest of us gather around the pool. We are going to try and film it and put it up on the big screen for those of us who can't see, because it's quite a tiny area over there for this massive crowd. But if you can follow the directions, there's a few people here that know exactly what they're doing now because we've done this many times before. Get in position, and we will see you all in the pool in about 5 minutes. And by the way, one more thing. Can we be listening to God as they come through? Because we want to shower them with encouragements from God as they come through the waters. So let's open our ears and open our hearts to see what God wants to say.